four to you people. Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasis. Up for another day. Broadcast insolence.
What do you think we'll learn when they we get to see all the Jussie Smollett records now that the judge has ordered that they'll be unsealed? Got the police reports, but we also have the court records, which I think a lot of people are hoping will help us bring us a better understanding of why what happened.
What?
The charges
were dropped. What happened. Well, you mean why the charges were dropped?
Why? The why piece of that.
I don't think that there's going to be much in there about that. I think she's just going to say, hey, you know, we do this all the time with nonviolent offenders. We don't have the court space for these kinds of things. You know, it's very, you know, this is a, you know, first time offender. We're just going to drop.
B-list actor.
Right. We're going to just drop the case that no one knew about this. No one was paying any attention to it. Nobody. It's fine. Just go ahead.
Well, but I just thought it was very interesting that they had this sudden court date that no one knew about. It wasn't on the docket. It was an emergency court date. And then the sealing of the records, you don't usually do that when you think that everything that happened is totally above board. We all knew we'd find out about the outcome, but what happened there, if there was such an effort put into keeping it secret, it seems to me we will learn something. But that's just my bet. I want to see it. I do. Oh, I think we're not done with this yet. Are you done with it? Maybe we put it behind us.
Oh, my God. Don't make me go crazy again.
It's true. This was
the craziest I have been in years thinking about this case.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, I mean, here's a dude who, just stop and think about
what he did,
the stupid thing that he did, and then when he left Chicago and went to Hollywood and New York and all the other places he went, he denied that he ever did it and said blamed it on the Chicago Police Department. He made the whole thing up because she let him do that, and that's crazy.
Right. Well, I guess the judge felt that in trying to plead to keep them private, he was not acting like an individual who was looking for privacy, appearing on multiple TV stations, going before the cameras, going on Good Morning America, and, you know, stating his case, that these are not the actions of someone who is begging for privacy. So all of it, whatever it is, comes out in the open. And we'll get to see it.
Okay. All I want to say is one thing about this!
Okay, what's that?
I'm trying to control myself! I can't help it!
Maybe we don't need to see it. Come to think of it, maybe you don't need to see it. It won't ruin your weekend, I don't think, because we're not going to find out for her. I think Kim told us June 3rd for some of those court records, and then the police records might be available before that.
Yeah, the police records are available right
Tuesday,
now.
Tuesday,
yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, would you like... I got them on my phone right now. Would you like them? Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's happening.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to try to control my breathing now.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to bring that up. I just thought, you know,
no, you're
we
not.
Were very concerned about this whole case, and now it seems that some little piece of it's going to come to light.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think when there'll be a lot more questions.
There's a lot more questions. There's going to be more screaming. Mm-hmm. There's going to be more crying. I mean, I don't know. We can't go back. I suppose they could go back and charge him because they never charged him. They could do that. But I don't know who would do it. That Kim Fox won't do it.
They are asking for a special prosecutor to look into it.
You know what? This has gotten to a point now where I say things. This is like you cross a threshold where you feel comfortable when you don't like somebody calling them that and then calling them. You know, it's like an old person.
You've discussed
thing
this before about certain Thanksgivings where you have that Obama or that Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. But that Obama was sort of the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. And I knew what they meant when they were saying that. You know, it was like that when relatives were like, you know, that Obama is stealing America. We want America back. I go, from what? From who took what? That Obama. And now I'm like, that Kim Fox. She is.
She's
oh
in
my,
that
oh,
category.
She's in the that category.
Yeah, that.
That Kim Fox is, you know, just let Jussie Smollett go. Oh, God. Oh, God. God.
Right. And then the Michelle Obama aide is refusing the subpoena to talk about what her contacts were with the office on Jesse Smollett's behalf. And
she's refusing a subpoena because you can do that now.
You can. Yeah, that's perfectly normal in America, apparently, yeah. Now that you just sort of refuse it. So are the, you know, the Osandero brothers, the two brothers who were involved in it. Their lawyers have been trying to serve Jesse and his team, and his lawyers are refusing subpoena.
We refuse to recognize your subpoena. No one, and there are no rules anymore.
I guess not. These are optional things now.
Rules. Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. Dear. But you can wait till after Memorial Day weekend, so it's all right, Ro. Have some fun. Enjoy your life a little bit, and then come back and read the Jesse Smollett report. See how that works for you.
Ben Bradley's going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up. You know, we're going to talk about the Memorial Day weekend. Lauren Lapka is going to run us down what's happening and this whole Memorial Day thing that is going to be occurring here. And then we are going to... Renato Mariotta is going to be here as well, because it turns out he has some thoughts on the Smollett case.
Mm-hmm.
So prepare for my head to blow off. And I would like to ask him this question.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that the rules of law don't apply anymore? Do I get to just go do whatever I want to go do?
Are subpoenas now optional?
Is this legal? Monica wouldn't play that with us?
No.
Maybe Mariotti will be young enough to fall for it. We'll find out. All right, and Jared Payton's going to be here as we celebrate his father being named the greatest Chicago Bear of all times, which we knew was going to happen.
We did.
But there are some other people on that list
that
are kind of funny in the top 25.
And there seems to be one error that most Bears fans are pointing out to. They don't like one pick in particular.
Yeah. And somehow Rex Grossman did not make the top 100.
Which you were pushing for yesterday. You made a strong case for it, and then no one bought it, and he didn't appear.
There's four guys in the top 25 I never heard of. So that's just the way it is.
But your guy was in it, Sid Luckman.
Sid Luckman, yeah.
Real high
up
there.
I told you Sid Luckman was going to be right there.
We knew that one.
Yeah. All right, we'll check in with Ben Bradley in the WGN-TV newsroom in just a moment. But first, Kim, what's happening in the radio newsroom?
Roe, new charges against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange.
They're Chicago, they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN-TV morning news team, weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Speaking of WGN-TV, Ben Bradley is standing by right now at the WGN-TV News Centerplex.
Listen, Diplantes, we get real at 4 p.m. too, okay?
Well, you need to get them to write better promos for you, okay?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, I would just like to say one thing, Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
Be very careful this week. She is taking no prisoners.
Oh,
is
really?
It true? I didn't even know that about myself.
Yeah, no, uh-oh. That's true. Totally
kind
true.
Kind of snapping back a little bit.
Yeah, totally true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I don't know.
If I mentioned you look lovely today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. I always knew I liked you. I really do.
Yeah.
It's the Ro-Con that I worry about.
Yeah. I'm telling you. She's got a list. And a couple times in the last few days, she does that thing where she has a fake pen in her hand and then she dabs it in her tongue. All right. I'm putting you on this list now.
Yeah.
I do have a list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got a list.
Ben's not on the list.
All right. So he just came off it. All right. What's coming up?
Well, we're talking about Chicago's population loss. Houston gaining ground on us big time. Did you see this? New census numbers out shows Chicago lost 7,000 people between 2017 and 2018. We've still got 2.7 million left, but Houston's gaining ground. Actually, Houston gained more people than Chicago lost during that same time period. And they're saying in just a couple of years, it's possible Houston could overtake us as the nation's third largest city.
Yeah.
Third largest city.
Harris County, the county around Houston, is the largest population growth, has shown the largest population growth in several of the last few years. It means job growth. They've got low taxes, of course, a lot of people will cite. It's just a booming economy.
It also helps when you have no zoning. Right down in Houston.
That's right.
You can just put a building right on top of a building.
You can build a 70-story building.
You know what happens. Yeah.
Right. Then somehow it works out.
Yeah, it's a little different. And the metropolitan area is still, the Chicago metropolitan area still will be the third largest.
Right.
Regardless.
But this was interesting. The census numbers showed that it's not just the city that is not growing, but the suburbs as well. You know, traditionally, people have thought about this as, you know, oh, well, maybe people are moving from the city to the suburbs. But most of the suburbs close-in counties also did not gain populations. You have to go out to, like, Huntley and Pingree Grove and other smaller places that used to be considered rural.
Yeah.
In recent years, they've extended the metro line out there.
Right.
In Huntley's case, they opened a Del Webb Sun City, and, well, you know what that does. I mean, that's just a party.
And it's a golf course. I played that golf course a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you the one laying on your horn on the golf cart telling the old people, get out of the way?
I airmail them. I just let them know. I like to put one right over their head. And hopefully, I don't miss.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So they're showing that the population loss comes in the city of Chicago, comes from the south and west sides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
this
is something that needs to be addressed, which is one of the things that is happening in Chicago is this isn't, you know, they used to call it in the 1960s and 70s white flight, right? That white middle class people were leaving cities because they didn't want to live in integrated neighborhoods or they didn't, you know, whatever it happened to be.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case. In the 20-teens, as we head into the 2020s, in Chicago at least. What you're seeing is the majority of people, it's black flight is essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the vast majority of people who are leaving the city are African-Americans who are either are able to get out to move to the suburbs or to move to other metropolitan areas where they feel, and we're being told it's more about safety and opportunity than it is about, you know, it's taxes, right, or
taxes,
anything else like
that. But let's not discount people who were just out and out leaving not only the city of Chicago, but the state of Illinois as well. Last year, we went down to Nashville to do an in-depth story on people who had chosen to flee Illinois. I actually just got off the phone with one guy a few minutes ago who decided after getting his property tax bill and realizing that the $1,800 his property taxes had increased in the suburbs, he happened to be talking to his parents who were down in Florida, and they said, well, our entire property tax bill is only $1,800. He said that was enough for him, and he picked up and moved. So people do respond. I think a lot of times the politicians think, oh, well, it's just this one tax, or it's just an increase in the property tax, or, oh, it's just going to be, you know, the gas tax, which we haven't changed in years and years and years and years. But there is a breaking point for a lot of citizens. Oh, Illinois lost, you know, 90,000 people over the last 9 years.
I'm not disputing that that's a big problem. That is a big problem. But what we're seeing in terms of loss here in Chicago, which is the interesting story, is there is a flight in Chicago, on the northwest side, the near west side, not so much up the lakefront because that's pretty jammed already, and in the near south side, of people moving, younger college-educated people moving into the city to take advantage of the corporate situation here.
Right. So the headquarters moving downtown. But I'd be curious, you know, those people who move downtown or into the, you know, closer in neighborhoods in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Are there more of them moving in their early 20s than wind up moving out in their late 20s or early 30s?
You mean to go for the suburbs?
Yes, exactly.
Kind of thing? That's
depends on how many corporate jobs there are. That's your answer. Your answer is, are there enough places for them to go to work? And then some stay, right? You know, for every yuppie puppy couple that, like yourself, Ben, when
he's a yuppie puppy.
Yes,
couple?
When you and Molly were, you know, first married, you lived in the city, did you not?
Tight rolled our jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you know, and then
did
all
you
of
wear
the,
skinny jeans, Ben? Or they weren't.
I
they weren't
never
really
worn
in
anything
them.
With the label skinny on it.
Ben, he was going to all the bars up and down, you know, Webster and all the rest of those places that all the hipsters went to back in the 90s. And then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, baby's on the way.
No, you know, I'll tell you exactly why we moved. And that is we had two kids at the time, and we lived in a great neighborhood. We paid a huge amount of property taxes. And there was a school that was pretty close to us that was a phenomenal elementary school, but it wasn't our neighborhood school. Our neighborhood school at the time on the north side of Chicago was terrible. And what did everyone on our block do? They clouded their kid into the other school, into the good school. And they said, oh, yeah, 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 just, you know, you can talk to so-and-so, and I'll introduce you to so-and-so. And I said, gosh, I'm a reporter. I can't end up on some clout list, right?
But I'd like to, but I can't.
No, yeah, exactly. Nobody will put me on there.
Exactly. Right.
But no, it's a real issue, right? And I actually remember talking to Mayor Daley about it at the time. And he made the point. He goes, "Yep, no one wants to be a pioneer when it comes to their own kids."
Right.
Yeah,
it's totally true.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Ben.
Yep.
We'll see you at the WGN TV News starting at 4:00.
It's real. Don't forget that.
You're
DeBlantis.
Real. You're Chicago, real. Mm-hmm. And okay. Just like Lauren and Larry and Robin,
he's a real.
So is Ben.
I got a real.
Really
he's a real something.
He's real.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Goodbye, Ben.
Yes, I know we are. It's like.
You know that is, don't you?
Jussie Smollett.
Yes, Jussie Smollett! That's it is!
Just taunting you now, Rob.
Renato Mariotti is joining us right now. Renato is also eating his phone. Renato, before we get to some other stuff that I think America's concerned about, may I ask you, does anything that happened in the Jussie Smollett case make any kind of sense to you? I know you're a federal prosecutor, but from a mm-hmm. from a county, from a state perspective, did any of that mm-hmm. make any sense?
You know, it's very bizarre. What I would say is it raises a lot of very serious questions. The whole way in which it went about is hard to explain. I think raises a number of serious issues as to whether or not she was really recused, why the case was resolved in the manner in which it was, how it was resolved, the dueling statements that were made by both sides afterwards, and the statements of her first assistant and then Fox's own statements about a case in which she was supposedly recused. All very unusual. I suspect that there's more to come. On that front.
And when you say that, now we've learned that Jussie Smollett's, some of the records, the court records, the police records that were all suddenly sealed in this right after this emergency hearing are going to come out. And do you expect that they will tell us some sort of narrative that will explain what happened there?
You know, I think it will tell us something, but not nearly the whole story. I think, you know, what will be more interesting is if there are more, for example, if there's any more communications. I know that a number of the communications that have been released pursuant to FOIA requests have been redacted, for example, due to deliberative process. And, you know, that, privilege, which is bizarre because the deliberative process exception, which is bizarre because, of course, Fox was supposedly recused at the time. So how could her discussions be part of a deliberative process if she was recused? So I suspect it'll be some of the redacted communications as well as potentially interviewing or getting testimony from some of her aides that might, you know, lead to more information. I think eventually there's going to be some version of the truth or something close to the truth that's going to come out there, and there'll be at least some questions that'll be raised. But I suspect the court file itself won't be the source of the interesting information.
Why seal it then?
Great question. I think
it's driving Ro nuts because this whole story does not make him feel good about anything going on.
It does not. Smollett, I will say this. I mean, Smollett, asked for it to be sealed, but then was making a bunch of statements contrary to that. I think the judge rightly found that he didn't really have an interest in keeping that private. It's unclear. I think what Fox's office was hoping is that there wouldn't be questions asked. It's been interesting for me to see the amount of public attention paid to this. I think that may have caught them by surprise. I don't know what exactly happened here, but it certainly wasn't a typical case that was handled by the book. So
I tried to run away from the microphone for a moment because I couldn't believe what I was.
He was gasping and puking.
They were surprised by the public's interest in the story. I mean, how is that even remotely possible? How stupid do they think? Does Jesse think? Well, Jesse did it. Obviously, he wanted to do it as a publicity stunt. He wanted the public interested in it because he wanted to be the victim, right? And that was going to help him in whatever his outcome was, to sell a record or to keep a show job or whatever it was. But then Kim Fox, I mean, that's how disconnected she is, that she was like, oh, who's going to give a crap about this? I'll take care of it. What?
Well, I think what I would say is I think that they were surprised by is the interest in some of the details. Look, I was a federal prosecutor for a decade. I handled high-profile cases, none this high-profile. And when my actions were often picked apart, and we would sit there debating a particular word in an indictment and spend all sorts of time wringing our hands about decisions that are going to draw less attention than this one. And the reason why is because you're under a microscope when you're a prosecutor. And I think, Kim Fox doesn't have, you know, she's somewhat inexperienced, but she's got an experienced team around her. And for whatever reason, I think they did not believe that the public would be that interested in her communications with individuals about this investigation, or the public would not be interested in her recusal or non-recusal, as the case may be. That's the only way I can explain their actions here, which were not careful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that simple, right? Either that or they just didn't care about the potential public scrutiny, but clearly they didn't anticipate it, right?
We had a legal question earlier, Renato. I'd love to see if you help us sort it out. We were talking about these subpoenas in this case that now seem to be people are not accepting them. You've got the Obama aide, Tina Chen, who's being subpoenaed by the former Illinois appellate judge who wants a special prosecutor in this case, subpoenaed her for all of her documents and evidence and back and forths that she might have with Kim Fox or her office and any related parties. And then you've got, on the other hand, you've got the two brothers who were involved in this. Their attorneys are trying to serve the attorneys for Jesse Smollett. They're not receiving the subpoenas in this case. What's going on there?
Yeah, I got to say that the action brought by the state appellate judge, I'm not sure exactly where that's going. She's made a number of filings that I think, you know, suggest that she's, you know, overplaying her hand, to put it mildly, or kind of misusing the judicial process. I'm not sure exactly how far that's going to go. I think at some point in the not too distant future, there's going to be some independent party looking at this. Fox's office has already consented to, I think, was it the county OIG to take a look at it? You know,
Well, that'll handle it. I'm sure the county OIG.
Counties rock solid on these things.
Right, exactly. I've never seen a problem with the county's inspector general ever. Right. Well, but can you ignore a subpoena? I guess this goes to a grander thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the White House is ignoring subpoenas. Everybody's like, this. What has happened?
Are they optional
to the rule of law, Renato?
You know, it's interesting. People ask me that a lot recently, and I guess what I would just say is, people generally comply with subpoenas because that's the right thing to do, and it creates additional problems and legal hurdles for you if it doesn't. But you do not get thrown in prison the minute that you disregard a subpoena. That's just the reality of life. And certainly with Congress, they don't have an easy way to enforce a subpoena. They're not the police or the FBI. They have the Capitol Police Force, and if I was subpoenaed by the United States Congress and I failed to appear, you can rest assured that the Capitol Police aren't going to board, you know, the latest United or American flight to Chicago and arrest me. That's just not what they're set up to do. I mean, you know, the Woodfield Mall probably also has cops, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to conduct offensive operations either. That's just the reality.
Well, I think they said, but in a situation, high profile situation like this, where they're being ignored by other government officials, yeah, they can. They send the sergeant at arms, you know, who wears a suit, you know, his only other job is to go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the House of Representatives, ladies and gentlemen, it's the President of the United States. Give it up.
Yeah,
that's the guy. That's the only other job he has. But the problem that I think we all have is that nobody seems to be playing by the rules that we thought the game was supposed to be played by, and it's disorienting and it's disturbing to all of us. We'd like to know what is right and what is wrong. Forget about what's legal. Let's just talk about what's right and what's wrong at the moment. And that just doesn't seem right. All right. Renato, thank you very much. Appreciate your time as always, man.
Thanks, Renato.
Thank you. Anytime. Have a good one.
Renato Mariotti. See him on the CNN. CNN legal analyst. Chicago attorney.
Yeah. He's always very calm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm trying to remain calm because everywhere I look, there's another story about, you know, whether it's the Smollett thing now with, you know, these files are going to be unsealed and that'll be, I hope it's going to be good. I hope it's going
to
show.
I hope we'll learn something, but, you know, there's a lot more to learn.
Yeah, there is, but I don't think we're going to learn much from these. But then Renato seems to agree with that. But I don't know where we go after that. And then, yeah. And then the president was just standing there at the White House. With farmers, mm-hmm. And you know the way you could tell they were farmers, they were wearing cowboy hats. It was like right out of Central Casting. They put four guys in back of them in cowboy hats.
Farmers are really concerned about these tariffs as they drag on. It's not just the markets that are tanking; it's their profits and their long term view of what's going to happen here.
And the and one guy wearing a red "Make Potatoes Great Again" hat.
I'm gonna guess he's from Idaho.
I'm going to guess. Yeah, I'm going to guess.
You go with that, too.
Right. And then a couple other guys who look like lobbyists who are checking their smartphones.
In their smart suits.
Right, in their smart suits, right. Looking really very slick that were standing behind him. And then the president was like, hey, listen, all right, we're going to give you a $16 billion bailout. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. One thing, though, China's going to pay for it. We're gonna shove it right up China. I'm going to tell you that right now. And the problem is, it's not. China is not paying for it. The American consumer pays the tariffs. How? Because the president goes, money's rolling in. We're making so much money on this. This is great on the tariffs. Well, they're not making that much money on it, but what they are making on it is out of the United States because China doesn't pay the tariffs. China sends the product over here. People buy it, and it's taxed upon it's taxed, the price goes up, and the Americans are the ones paying it.
Plus, you now have what he unveiled today, the $16 billion bailout for the farmers. Well, that comes from American taxpayers, right? It doesn't come from China at this juncture. And depending on how long it lasts, I mean, you know, you don't know how much more that grows. You know, it doesn't seem as if there's any quick solution to this. Everyone seems to be digging in for the long haul, which is what you saw with the market dropping today.
Although it did come back a little bit at the end, yeah, when he started talking about the bailout, it came back to like down 286
or
something. Yeah,
right, mm-hmm. 300 points.
Right. It was down as many as 500, I think, at one point during the day. So it came back. The people that, listen, it's stupid economic policy. I don't care how much of a genius he claims to be and how people who don't know any better think he's right about being a genius. And it's not knowing better about him, because I know I can hear the people out there right now. Well, you know, he's a billionaire. What are you? That's accurate. That's just my mother saying that.
Oh, God.
So that's just to be totally clear here. There's under no circumstances is this a smart thing to do, a way to get this done that doesn't end up costing the United States more money.
Yeah. And you saw China today, the president said he told his people to begin the long march, that we're going to hold strong, we're strong people, and that this isn't going to impact us. So it just, obviously the rhetoric isn't there to give anybody confidence that this is going to be done.
Anytime soon.
Right.
Right. No big deal. All right, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Jared Payton's going to be here. We're going to congratulate Jared on his father being the number one Chicago Bear of all times, and also talk about a big thing coming up on June 6th. It's the 8th annual Jared Payton Foundation golf outing.
Awesome.
And me and Mr. Cochran are going to be a part of that.
Oh, how nice.
And Mr. Powell, I think, is going to be a part of that. Anybody else who wants to play golf with us in the morning will be a part of it. I know you and Lauren play golf. You are more than welcome to come out there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good thing to get involved with.
Yes. If you guys wish to do that. But I don't think you want to see me and Kevin on the golf course.
Why is that?
Because, you know,
you're misbehaving.
We're sucking up to Joe Donlin. We're doing all this sort of stuff. Hey, Joe, can I hold your putter?
Joe, that was a great looking swing there.
That's a great inside outside swing. Oh, God, you nailed that one.
You look really strong, Joe, when you hit it down the fairway like that.
Last year, Kevin asked to squeeze Joe's bicep, and it was really weird.
You did not.
Yeah, no.
Please tell me you did not.
No, you're jacked, man. Do you work out? You're jacked.
We also play with Dan Rohn, who's an avid golfer, and I topped my first tee shot. He's like, listen, punk, I'll kill you and throw you off this golf team so quick you won't know what hit you. I'm like, all right, I'll straighten it out, Dan, I promise.
All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the newsroom?
Ro, believe it or not, there's one thing Congress can agree on. We'll let you know what that is coming up.
Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Our old friend Jared Payton is joining us right now, the super celebrity satellite from the Tribune Media mothership over on Bradley Place, West Bradley Place in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And JP, we want to talk about a couple things here.
How you guys? First of all, how you guys doing?
Well, that's, you know, first, A, none of your business. B, it would be too long to explain. But
that's true. I will say this.
When the Bears did this whole deal about the top 100, you know, Bears of all times, it was like, we know automatically who the best Bear of all times is. This is, you know, when you get to the number one, I was almost worried that they were going to do something as a publicity stunt and, you know, name like Sid Luckman, the number one Bear of all times. Did you or anybody in your family have concern about that?
No concerns.
Okay.
At all. It's kind of funny because I was taking my son to school today. We went to go get breakfast and I asked him the question. I was like, you know, the Bears are doing this 100, you know, their 100th year and it's the 100th greatest players. And I'm like, you know who's number one, right? And he goes, yeah, Dad, that's easy. It's Grandpa. I was like, oh, he kind of knows. And I knew in my heart, you guys, you know, that he was the number one.
Oh,
but
of course,
for me to be able to now study my dad and look at everything that he did and what he put into the game, he deserves to be number one because it was a lot of hard work. And not only did he give his everything to the game of football, he gave everything to the Chicago Bears. And like I said in my tweet today, I'm just very thankful to be a part of their family. And the Bears are unbelievable. And just to see where this organization is going right now, I know my dad would be proud.
Oh, for sure. I think it's arguable. I always make the argument that against all comers, that he is the greatest NFL player of all times.
Oh, yes.
In terms of, you know, all around capability, people who unfortunately, you know, never got the chance to watch your dad play, people are too young to remember him. He was not only the most dynamic running back, but he was the fiercest competitor. He did everything. He took snaps. He was the backup quarterback. He was the backup kicker, the backup place kicker.
How about that?
I mean, that's how crazy it was.
He prided himself on being able to do everything in the game and whatever he was asked to do. And so, yeah, I say it too. And I'm a little biased because he's my dad. But I played this game and I watched this game and I studied this game. There's nobody that will ever be able to do as much as he was able to do. And it's a testament to his work ethic. And it's the one thing that I look at now that, you know, growing up, I just loved playing the game of sports. I didn't want to be the best. I didn't want to be a superstar. I just loved playing. And I didn't have that. I think it skipped a generation. My 7-year-old son, he has it in him now. He's got this, like, will to be the best. And him and my dad are so similar in that sense. But to be able to see the work that my dad put in and what he sacrificed throughout that time that he played. And as a kid, I was upset in the summer times that he wasn't around as much. And I was like, why isn't he not around? I'm 38 now. I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand. And I respect that. I respect that of him and that he wanted to be the best that he could be to put in the summer times. And he kind of started like the working out and his regimen and what he did. We see that now in athletes, how they train.
He
did that back in the day.
He was running up hills in Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what he did. And I remember I read Channel 2 going on to do a story about him with his drum kit and his hill.
Yeah.
And he would run up and down the hill. And there were people like, wow, what is that?
Hey, Ro, we still have that drum kit. You want to buy it? I mean, it's sitting in storage.
Oh, my God.
Don't even offer.
Oh, my
do
God.
Not, do not.
I do.
Do not even
do
offer.
Want
now he's going to chase you about that.
JP, how much did he talk about football with you and, I guess, just playing the game? And what were your takeaways from that? Because, you know, some players maybe really don't get into details as much as others. Some like to relive the glory days, I guess. But how much did he talk to you about his playing days?
Okay, listen, you're going to – it's going to kind of maybe make your head spin a little bit. He didn't talk about football with me. Like, he didn't talk about old plays. He didn't talk about old games. And then, you know, back in those days, you guys, I played soccer, so I didn't really care too much about football. I didn't really start truly loving football until I got into the game, probably when I was at Miami, and he was gone by that time. So we didn't sit around and talk a lot of football. It was more about what was going on. My dad loved playing video games, so I think we talked probably more about video games and UNLV basketball because we were both huge UNLV fans back in the day.
Tarkanian.
Yeah, him and Tark were really, really close. And so I got a chance to, you know, go live those days and those moments with him. I think we probably talked about more of the stuff that we did together.
That's interesting. Now, why were he and Jerry Tarkanian so close?
So one day, my dad did an interview, and this is before the Running Rebels were the hottest team out. My dad just really loved the way they played basketball, and he said it in an interview. Tark saw it in the newspaper, reached out to my dad, and they became friends. And so during that time where they had their magical run, my dad was a big part of that in speaking to the team before games.
Oh, man.
So I traveled with him to most of those games. And just to be able to be a part of it, Stacey Ubman, Greg Anthony, Grandma Ma, those guys, I actually talked to Greg Anthony a couple of years ago at the Super Bowl, and he said him and those guys still talk about my dad talking to them before some of their big games.
JP, you told me that story. You know, we always hear about Michael Jordan, how competitive he is, and Jordan himself has called it a blessing and a curse. But you've told me stories about your dad, the competitor, going against Michael Jordan and all sorts of different things.
Yeah, Mike came to my house one time, and when he came up to the door, my jaw dropped because I was trying to figure out why Michael Jordan's at my house. And then he wanted to come in, and I looked at him and I said, "Man, you missed a couple free throws the other night, man. You guys could have won." And by the time I could like say anything else, my dad gave me this forearm shiver, and he came over to my house to play cards. And I ended up going into his pockets and getting all this money that was rolled up in rubber bands. And then about an hour later, my dad whistled to me again to come downstairs. Mike's got his head in his hands, and my dad's got a bunch of money in his hands. He gives me a $100 bill, and I ended the night with $105. So I was super excited. But they battled at everything that you could imagine.
I cannot imagine.
Listen, until 4 in the morning, bro. 4 in the morning, they were going back and forth playing pickup sticks to Miss Pac-Man. Oh, yeah.
I know. That's
with
the
same intensity.
Guys were
Pac-Man.
Like that.
I love it.
You had to be the best at anything. But in sports, and especially those two, the greatest basketball player and the greatest football player in Chicago was so blessed to be able to back-to-back have that, right? Just as your dad was leaving the sport, Michael Jordan was starting to excel in the sport. It was, you know, those moments in Chicago sport history are just, you know, just you can't believe how lucky we are. But those guys were also nuts. I got to know your dad a little bit. I did a bunch of charity events with him over the years, and I'll never forget, we were in a golf cart once, and I'm driving the golf cart, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, please don't kill Walter Payton. That's all I could think of while I was driving the golf cart, and he started tickling me. It was the strangest thing. I mean, that's right. I mean, your dad was that he was a practical joker.
Yes, he
and
was.
He always wanted to make people a little uncomfortable, you know, sort of like just kind of knock them off their game a little bit. That, which I think, you know, when you watched him as a running back, he was like that. Uh-huh. All of a sudden you thought, oh, I'm going to wrap this guy up. And he would do something at the last second just to throw you off your balance. And they did that with every human being on the planet Earth, I think.
Wasn't Michael Jordan known for that, too? Kind of to have that sort of thing where he'd throw people off and just kind of disarm you with something.
Yeah. Well, you
during games and outside of it as well.
Yeah.
Hey, JP, the rest of the list, anything stand out to you? Anybody should have been higher or lower? What do you think?
I don't know. The Urlacher thing.
I'm bothered by
that. People are upset about that one.
Yeah, in the top 10. I mean, just what he meant to that organization and what he did. I think that's the one that threw me off just a little bit. But, you know, for me, I never got a chance to see guys like Sid Luckman and other guys like Bronco Nagurski.
Bulldog Turner.
Yeah, to watch those guys. And so there's a reason why they're on there. So I just,
for sure.
I really want people to go do their homework on some of these guys if they don't know about them, just to see. Because Bronco, not only did he play well and bring championships to Chicago, he also, you know, went into the service. He came back, and then after 6 years later, helped them to another title. So he was also a wrestler. There's like a lot that goes into all this stuff.
And in an era where these guys were, like Ditka, I'll never forget, you know, he tells the story, he came to the Bears. They were making no money. A lot of these guys had to have second jobs. Your dad's era was the beginning of these guys being able to just have a single gig, which was being a football player, right?
Well, Bronco Nagurski was making they made $3,000 a year at that time.
Right.
That's nothing.
Ditka, I think, was making $5,000. He was a radio sales guy during the off season, right?
We should hire him over at WGM Radio. Why not?
Yeah, but I've already made him the offer. It didn't work out so well. No. You don't want to be in the... When he makes a noise at you, you don't want to be around
for that. Just kind of a grunt. You just sort of... Well, he's number six, and that's the other thing that was brought up, because it's really ranking players. I mean, he's loved as a coach and what he did for that team, but as a player,
he's pretty great, though. He's a pretty great tight end.
Yeah, he was. I don't think people really... They don't remember that because of him leading the Bears to a Super Bowl championship, but... He was a pretty darn good tight end as well. You got to watch his videos. He was a beast on the football field.
And Bill George at seven. I mean, we always talk about Buckus, Urlacher, and Singlet. Bill George basically invented the middle linebacker position.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he was the pioneer of that whole thing.
Yeah, number one and two, when you look at it, you know, what Buckus meant to this organization. You have Gale Sayers in the top five as well. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's I said my dad would be truly honored with all the names that are on this list to be number one. That's saying something, and it's a lot of hard work that goes into, you know, being able to have that spot.
And George Connors, too. That's another name that people may remember. He played in the 60s and the 70s. He was a guy that, again, was – or maybe 50s and 60s. He – another – There are certain, like, as a kid, you know, because football is a generational thing, right? It's and Chicago Bears football, you know, it's a religion here, as you know, it is in Green Bay and other places. But it is the kind of thing where, you know, your dad, your granddad would talk to your dad would talk to you about it. You know, everybody would tell me as a kid about going to the championship game in 1963 at Wrigley Field and all, you know, like all of the, or the game that got him into the championship. You know, it's like these moments are, and you'd hear the names of players that they loved. And so when I'm going back through this list, and there are people that were not from my generation, those are all names that echo. Right. Those are all things that are there. Brian Piccolo, it's interesting, doesn't make the list.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make the list because he really, as a football player, it was not really Brian Piccolo's, that was not his contribution to the team or to the legacy.
Yeah, a lot of people's, too, are really kind of thrown back about Khalil Mack being on the list. And listen, what he did for the Bears last season in one season so far, I think he's got to be on the list somewhere. So it's tough, man, when this, you have an organization that has a lot of history like we do here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put everybody on the list, but when you look at all the great players, I think that's what we have to look at, not where they stand, but just go through the names and see the legacy that has been created here in Chicago when it comes to football.
All right. Well, don't forget that on June 6th, the 8th annual Jared Payton Foundation golf outing, and Mr. Cochran and I are going to be doing the morning show from this event.
Nice.
And then we're going to be playing in the early round there. And Kevin's going to come out, and Anna and Kim and Lauren, anybody else who, from the show, is going to come out and, you know, buying them all tickets here, Jared, doing this whole thing. And the Jared Payton Foundation, amazing organization. If you'd like to take part in this, I don't know, is it totally sold out yet?
It's getting close. My wife was telling me how many golfers. It's getting to that point. So
maybe a foursome left or two.
Yeah, let's go, man. Get your foursome at Ruffle Feathers Golf Club. You can go to jaredpayton.org to figure out more how you want to be a part of it. Even if you want to come to the little dinner afterwards, you want to be a part of that. There's so many great things going on. Our foundation keeps growing and growing. I have to thank my whole entire team for helping me out, because I'm super busy and everybody else is helping me with my vision of helping kids around the Chicagoland area. Over the last 3 years, I've spoken to close to over 40,000 kids. So for me, it's an honor. It's a blessing to be able to share my story with people and see the impact that we're making for these young kids in the Chicagoland area. So, and I'm glad that WGM Radio is a part of it. Jewel Osco is a part of it as sponsors. Thank you guys for being a part of it. And it's cool to have a mission and people get behind it, and I think that's what it's all about.
Is Joel Donlin going to be part of it? Kevin Rowe want to know.
That's our boy, sure. JP. That's so. Our boy.
Yeah, I think Donlin's going to be a part of it.
So oh, good.
They have some
friends.
They have some friendship bracelets they'd like to give him.
That's normally how it goes. So
he's just the coolest guy ever. just as cool. Almost
and
as cool
I know
as
that
dad.
He likes you a lot too. It's just he hasn't had a lot of time for you.
And I, you know, I was in the golf cart with him last year. I tried to tickle him in the golf cart.
It didn't work. As
and
well.
It was well, Walter Payton tickled me once in a golf cart. Oh. Yeah, no, that's not how that goes. It was weird. Gosh. It was awkward, Jared. I'm not gonna lie to you. All right, JP, thank you so much, man.
Hey, do me a favor, tell. Lauren Lapka, I said, what's up?
Hey, JP.
Hey, what's up, Lapka? I'm glad you're back, and it's so good to have you back with the family. So I look forward to seeing you whenever that is, hopefully down the line.
Yes, we'll have to meet up soon.
And
bring
talk
the band
Game
back
of Thrones.
Together.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, these guys were, that's right. They were all on a show together. This
love
is where,
that.
This is where it all began for everybody. All right, JP, thanks, man.
Thank
talk
you
to you.
See
all right, there he goes. Well, she can come out to the
golf outing. Yeah. Perfect time.
Exactly.
She can run interference with Joe Donlin when you guys are inappropriate.
You know what, Lauren? Why don't you sit in the cart? He said, Joe's moving my bag off the cart. Right. Lauren's onto the cart. Hey, I don't know. They made a change, man. I don't know what they did. I don't know.
Yeah, I can picture it. Lauren, please sit with me. They're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's exactly what
He's
would
too
be
nice doing. To say that, but you'll feel it for sure.
All right.
What did they say to him?
Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A Cook County judge explains why he unsealed documents today in the case of Empire actor Jesse Smollett.
And Lauren's traffic brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Okay, so I'm not 100% sure what to do with this. So yesterday I got a phone call from a number I don't recognize, and I'm thinking to myself, self, what is this? Who is this? And it's a guy who identifies himself and says, hey, Kevin, I just want to tell you. And he tells the story of this guy. And I'm like, okay. But I'm like, I'm going to like hang up. God, just, missed number, no big deal. Except his story was kind of an interesting one. And I thought, who in the hell is this who is calling me? So here it is.
Kevin, Bill, somehow I got in the car, and I'm sort of like a couple of blocks away. I wanted to tell you how wonderful you are. Great directing and good eye and precise and knowing what you wanted. It was wonderful. Let's get together next week and celebrate our mutual successful story here. I don't know what will happen to the show, but what we did here the last couple of days is really successful. I'll call you.
All right. There you go.
That's William Shatner.
Is it?
Do we think?
Is it?
Certainly sounds like it. Doesn't it? That's so weird.
All right. Now, so, I just leave it there. I'm thinking who it is. I thought, well, I call back. And I go, hey, that was the wrong number. Just letting you know, because it sounds like it was an important call you might want to, you might want to make. And he's like, and I'm like, I don't know. I just don't think it's right. I don't know. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to think about it. So an hour ago, we're sitting here on this show. My phone rings. It's the same number.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Kevin, I guess that's you from the way you're answering. I know the name is unfamiliar. It's Bill Shatner. I just wanted to apologize once again for running off without saying the fondest of farewells. I love you. You're a great guy. And funny and perceptive and talented. Look forward to our mutual success, but in the chance that it isn't, I would love to continue our relationship. Love you. Bye-bye.
Oh, my word.
It was William Shatner.
Totally.
Like, talking to some director about how great they worked on a project together and how great it was, and they hope that, it goes on to something else. Maybe it's a pilot for something or whatever it is.
Oh, my gosh. Were you talking to Kevin Smith? Is that what you just said? Talking to Kevin Smith there? Is that what you think?
I don't know. I don't know who the director is, but it could be Kevin Smith. I know they worked on something together, but it's just a guy named Kevin. I don't know. There's a director's named Kevin. Let's call all the directors named Kevin with similar phone numbers to mine. Start now.
We need to do that. I think we need a full, thorough investigation. Do you feel like the need to call him back and let him know that his loving messages to Kevin didn't get received? Isn't that something that you might be morally obligated to do?
I don't know. Should I? I don't know.
Then you might get a nice little chat with William Shatner. Or a text. Well,
Could you possibly be in William Shatner's phone as Bill's name next to your name?
I don't have him in my phone.
Okay.
So I don't think. Hold on.
You wouldn't know that?
Honey, booby, darling.
I'm
going to have William Shatner call you.
Shatner's calling. Now stand by your phone because Shatner's going to make a call to you and it's not going to be to you. So when he calls you and it's the wrong number, go ahead, pick up, and then pitch your story to him.
The publicity stunt. This is perfect.
That, by the way, is exactly the kind of thing that my agent would do. That is
maybe he reps him too. You think he does?
That's how he gets you in with Shatner.
Yeah. Right. He goes, now listen, I don't think I could get you in with him, but if I do set this up where he misdials and calls you thinking he's calling Kevin Smith and then you start to talk to him, maybe that would be a good thing.
Well, it might be a start of a really great relationship. If you call him back and say, look, it seemed like a very heartfelt message you had for Kevin. I wouldn't want him to miss it. Or not know what you're talking about the next time you reference it.
Right.
Why don't you call
offer him our Kevin if he wants it?
Right. All right. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna call him back.
I'll say it's Kevin.
And you're gonna go, hey, it's Kevin.
Thanks for the nice message. I am brilliant.
This is all part of the plan. Hey, Kevin here. I got your call. I appreciate you listening to my sports reports and whatnot.
Bubby, darling, sweetheart, listen, don't you have a guy on your show named Kevin?
This is perfect.
Could Richard Roper be involved in this?
Yeah, bring in Rich.
Maybe he's totally
perfect.
Yeah.
Weren't we supposed to do something with Shatner a couple of weeks ago? Wasn't I supposed to do an interview, like a morning interview pre-record with him? A couple months ago now, right? Because I know I was doing it from the other studio, and we were going to do it. And I remember that that we got a call from his publicist or something right before it, and was like, "Okay, cancel it. I was going to do it at like 9 o'clock in the morning." So there might have been a number. My number might have been. I mean, somehow he has my number.
That's
I don't know
very how, strange.
So maybe it was from that, you know, that he was supposed to call because he was going to call directly into another.
Unless he's one of those guys that still has like paper numbers written out in a little book somewhere, and he just
Shatner?
Transcribed a number.
Seems like that kind of guy.
You know, like he's got his Hollywood book kind of thing, and he's like, all right, let me call him.
I say we ride this thing for all.
We got to do something.
Everything we can. Bill, Kevin, Mr. Call, appreciate you reaching out.
Ro told me that you called.
Figure we get Richard Roper on board for a nice review, maybe a 4-star situation.
Right, okay. So we're selling off Richard's
Everybody's reviews. Getting sold
off
here.
Why not? This is a great plan.
Wonderful.
I can just feel it. Nothing could go wrong here.
Ro's agent pulling all the strings here.
My agent, who does, it was not beyond my agent to go, Bubby, darling, sweetheart, you know this Dick Roper, right? And I'm like, it's Richard Roper. And he goes, listen, my grandnephew just made a movie about the paperclip, where the paperclip comes to life, and could he give it 4 stars?
Can I send him a link? And then he'll just review it.
Right.
You know, just send him, give him 4 stars.
That's how it
works.
They do this thing where they call it a link. I don't even know what it is. It's a mishigas. But here's the thing. What we're going to do is we're going to send it. Maybe, you know, would it be so bad if maybe he gave it a star? 4 would be good.
But William Shatner called you, Ro.
What is appropriate? What is appropriate about this?
Well, I think calling him back would totally be appropriate.
Just clarifying it all.
Yeah, just sort of, you know.
On the air.
You know what? Now,
and then
Lauren,
ask him to come on with us.
Lauren was very practical about this. Lauren was, hey, text him because that's...
No, it's not awkward.
Yeah.
Because like,
right,
wrong number.
Right, but awkwardness is fun sometimes, like, especially on live radio.
How about I do this? How about I text him, new phone, who dis?
Oh, God. He'll break his heart.
You out? At midnight tonight. 2 a.m. You out?
Send a sup at 3 a.m.
What are you doing?
Sup. Hey, yup. Wait, is Kevin, what's going on with this director?
I'd say after you've had a little bit of something to drinky poo tonight, and then you call him after that, and then you sort of, you know, just talk to him. Break the ice a little bit. See if you can get him to come on the show.
Send him an awkward selfie.
What was he promoting? Do you remember?
I don't know.
A couple of months ago. So we get this call from his people about something. He was going to be in town for something, right? He was like in town for a play, or he's always doing like a one man thing. He is incredibly talented.
He's amazing. I love him.
The funny thing is, last night I get this call and I don't know what to do with it. And then this morning or this afternoon, I turn on the TV and he's on The Talk, that stupid The View of CBS show. And so I'm listening for a few minutes. There was the most awkward moment in the history of television. One of the people, and I don't know who any of these people are except for the one who was on Roseanne on this desk.
Sarah Gilbert.
Right.
Who I think is leaving.
But there was some lady asks a question who, it was like, now, you worked with Richard Nimoy and you have some regrets about not getting along with him. She's reading off of her card, and he goes, "It's Leonard Nimoy."
Yeah, I was like, "Richard, right? Like, that doesn't sound right."
And she goes, "Oh yeah, Leonard, and you didn't get along with him. How?" And he goes, "I didn't get along with him because I always called him Richard Nimoy. I didn't understand why." He saved this idiot who was asking the question. He made it funny, and he took her off the hook for it, which is an incredibly, really kind thing to do in an interview like that.
Right.
Right? And then she follows up and asks, "So how's your relationship now?" To which William Shatner has to say, "Well, he passed away, so,
he's dead.
I will always have those regrets."
Oh,
you're like, "Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I'm watching, like, the worst talk show car crash ever."
You think he called Bubby afterwards? Tell him never to book him there again. You remember, I just kind of did a little recall here. He was the actor who introduced the city's bid for Amazon. Remember, it was his voice on that celebrated video that went to Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a one-man thing at Chicago Theater
a couple months back.
March 8th, I think he did a Star Trek screening and then just kind of like Q&A one-on-one thing.
Right.
Oh.
So that could be what the deal was.
Because
I remember, and then there were some reasons. Did that go off? Or did they? I thought they postponed it or something.
I don't know.
That happened? They postponed the interview. That's what they did. that's the best.
Canceling everything.
You know what? We really don't need. The Rokon Show. Screw it. We don't need it. Well, we're sold out.
Sold out. Yeah. Scrap everything.
Scrap the interview. You know what? Bill, destroy his phone number. All right, I'll do it. And next thing you know, Kevin, I love you.
Fun fact about William Shatner, because I was trying to figure out what he's done in Chicago. The Chicago Tribune had a story about him last year about how he has a solar-powered Bitcoin mining farm in southern Illinois.
Really?
So he's got that going on. A lot of side gigs.
Now, you see, perhaps it's that level of investment that has him calling people going, "Hey, I'd love to work with you again. Do you have a new project coming up?"
Bitcoin mining.
Bubby Darling.
That's what everybody's talking about.
Bubby Darling, sweetheart. Listen, Bill Shatner just called and he said that he'd like to sell you his Bitcoin mining farm in southern Illinois. And you immediately came to mind because you live somewhere in the Midwest, though I have never been. And
where is it again?
That might be somewhere close to where you live. Is it? I don't even know. And that's my agent! My agent!
I think you got to call him back immediately.
I do. I totally think you have to seize this moment. This
or else you're going to ruin the relationship between him and Kevin because he's going to think he's being blown off.
That's so true. He doesn't get a call back from Kevin. And then, like, the next project, Kevin Smith doesn't even cast him because he thinks he's ungrateful. It could change the course of history for William Shatner and the arc of his career.
Serious drama in Hollywood.
You really could.
All because of Rose's agent gave... Well, we were a couple digits off on the phone number we gave him. Just happened to go to my client, Rokon. What's the problem?
I honestly don't think that my agent is representing Bill Shatner. At this juncture.
But maybe somebody asked for a number, and your agent just happened to slip a Rokon number in there.
847, you've been Shatnered. It should be a verb.
Maybe the whole thing's a bit to see what I'll do. It's like one of those. Maybe it's part of a pilot for a reality show,
like a punk,
a camera kind of thing.
Calls
people, right,
to see what they
We're
do.
Punk exactly. A bunch of radio hosts around the country, billion.
It's called Shat Happened.
Happened. Very nice.
I shat you. I don't know, something like
shat
that.
Shat you not. This is the name of the show.
But it's William Shatner. He's a great guy. You gotta call him back. I say you do it on the air. tomorrow.
Is it, we do it at, oh, okay.
Yeah, live on the air.
I don't think we could, I don't know.
Well, you can sort of live tape it. You tape it before and then we...
No, you can't even do that.
You can't?
No.
If you tell him you're on the air, tape it, and then play it back?
I'll just do it live in the second
half. I think he'd really appreciate that.
You're live on WGN.
Yeah.
Bill? This is Kevin, a.k.a. Rowe. You called me a couple times yesterday.
Very nice things that you said about someone else.
And we're being told it's definitely Kevin Smith. Now.
I would say
I don't know how anybody would for sure know that.
Well, because they did, let's say they did the Big Bang Theory together, right? Isn't there some connectivity there? There's a clip of them together
now,
doing some promotion.
The funny thing is, in the greatest irony of ironies, I have Kevin Smith's phone number in my phone. And I looked it up earlier when somebody suggested it was. And his number is nowhere near my number.
Okay. But maybe you need to get Kevin and maybe get both on the line.
Maybe, right. So maybe we should call Kevin Smith and William Shatner and put them together.
Yeah, because then you would be, you know, you connect them. You would be the guy that, you know, helps build this relationship.
I got to tell you, this is the best part of being on the air and the host of the show is I can make the producer do this, so it's awkward for him and not for me.
Oh.
I think that's the plan.
Poor Jeff.
You need to call Shatner right now. And yes, you need to call. Did you get the number? Have you gotten the number? Do you have the number? Yeah. I have the number. Should I give the number? Should I just tell him the number now?
No, text him.
All right. Hold on. Let's
just text him the
call
number.
Call him.
Let's check in with Kim first and find out what's happening in the WGN newsroom.
The city is reacting to a ruling by the state Supreme Court on the location of food trucks in Chicago.
Still think we got to call him.
Well, we now we're on the hunt for calling William Shatner. I think we got this thing. Or I think we're working this thing out.
Great.
We might have to call Kevin Smith, too.
That'd be awesome. Because what if it is Kevin Smith he's trying to connect? You can call Kevin, let him know. He says nice things about him.
If you're just joining us, I got a call yesterday from a phone number I did not know. And it was a guy calling himself Bill, asking for Kevin, and saying, hey, we worked together on this project. It was great. It was fabulous. You're a great director. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that intrigued me, but it's the wrong phone number, right? I don't know. I'm not going to get in the way. Today, during the show, I get another phone call from that number. Hey, it's Bill Shatner. Just Kevin, it sounds like you, but I don't recognize the name on the voicemail that I'm calling. Because
it sounds weird.
Because
it's
me
anyway.
Saying, hey, it's Rokan. So I don't know. But I can understand the confusion. Maybe I sound just like Kevin Smith. I don't know. Never thought of it that way.
Delivered a lovely message we believe Kevin Smith, or he believes it was Kevin Smith.
And I'm somehow caught in the middle. And so I think now we're required to put the two of them together. We'll try to do that in the 5 o'clock hour some way, shape,
terrific,
or form. In the meantime, Kim Gordon standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Her news into. All right, we're back. Okay.
Yes, we are. And something momentous happened off the air.
Oh, my God. Hold on a second.
Like, really, really big. And it involves William Shatner.
Is he on the line?
No. No.
I was like, I think he's talking to William Shatner.
He called again.
He called again.
So I picked
randomly?
Up. Yeah, I
oh
picked up
goodness.
And I had to explain to him that he's calling the wrong number. For those who are just joining us, last night I got a voicemail. Well, we'll play it in the top 5 of 5 and we'll explain it. It is a very thing. He's such a lovely man. I couldn't go on and go, you know, move forward.
Exploit him
in any way, shape, or form. But he, it was such a funny moment because all of a sudden there's the number. I just decided to pick it up and tried to explain it to him that he was calling my number, thinking it was somebody else's number. And that took about a minute and a half to explain. And then we started talking about other stuff. And he goes, oh, I'm just so thank you for doing this because it's an important thing that I get a hold of this guy.
Oh, so it was important. I mean, he was leaving, you know, several messages for this guy and saying really, really nice things about him. So that's good. So what did
Kevin?
Yeah, which Kevin?
I don't know if I don't know.
You don't want to say?
I guess I can.
The training confidence is with your new friend.
No, I can. It's Kevin Burns, who there's a project they're working on. That's why he was on the talk today. William Shatner was, to promote this project that they were working on when the unspeakable happened, which was one of the hosts of the show, or one of the people on the panel of the show, asked him about his problems with Richard Nimoy. And said, did you ever, have you made up with him? To which Mr. Shatner had to say, well, he's dead.
Yeah, he played the character Spork, right?
Exactly right. Oh, my God.
But you complimented him for the way he handled that.
I did want to tell him that story.
You saw it. It's so weird.
That William Shatner's been calling my phone for 2 days, and then all of a sudden I turn on the TV. I don't realize it's him until he leaves a message saying it was him. And then I'm watching him on TV today, and I'm like, and he did the kindest thing. He made it all okay when that woman asked the stupidest question in the history of talk shows.
Right, he could have taken that in a lot of directions. Just yes. Corrected her, kind of embarrassed her, but he
was a gentleman.
To the kind of guy he is.
He was a gentleman, which was again why I must now say that I just want to make sure that he is able to get to the other person he has to get to. He's one of the great gentlemen of Hollywood.
Yes.
So very they don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah, and we had a texter who reminded us that he was at the State Fair, Illinois State Fair, a couple of years back because his wife is an avid equestrian, and she was riding horses, so he was super nice to everyone he met there, too.
Wait, he just called again.
Oh, no way. Oh, gosh, didn't you tell him? This is not the right number.
Oh, my God.
What is
it? I don't know. Let's do this. I don't know.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Now my agent is calling. Booby darling, sweetheart, listen. Just wondering, do you have Bill Shatner's number?
Asking for a friend.
Because if you do, I really would like to get a hold of him because I have a business opportunity.
Uh-huh.
You have anything for me? No. Wrong number. Who dis?
Number 4.
Wait, no, hold on. That's not right.
Number 5.
Mayor, Lori Lightfoot. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson and other officials held a press conference ahead of Memorial Day weekend to talk about the city's safety plan for preventing violence.
We all have to be in this together. You know, I'll borrow the sports phrase, since you know I'm a sports fan. We're flooding the zone, right? We know the areas in the city where we believe that there are challenges, and we're going to make sure that we are physically present, that we're engaging with people in those neighborhoods, and that we're bringing resources into those areas in particular where we have concerns about any kind of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Like they haven't done that every year for the last 30.
Gosh, you hope it works.
Then Eddie Johnson was asked about troublemakers that may try to venture downtown and make mayhem.
Well, you know what? Listen, everybody's welcome to come down to Michigan Avenue, and we shouldn't target people simply because of the way they look or their ages or gender. That's just not right. But what I can tell you, if you come down there and misbehave, you'll be dealt with accordingly. But the mayor and I, as well as you see all these individuals standing behind me, they've developed programs and other alternative things for them to do in their communities should they choose to do that. If they choose to come downtown, then that's fine. If they come down there and act accordingly, they'll be fine. We have resources in place over the 4-day weekend so that if some people do misbehave, then we'll handle it accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Also announced a team of police officers will be riding CTA and L trains. That is their sole responsibility for the summer to
just go back and forth.
Check things out.
Back
there.
And forth. Back and forth. Oh, my God. Can you imagine having to ride the red line from Howard to 95th to 95th to Howard to 95th to Howard? I mean, it's like,
No. Would you rather be a meter maid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I would rather be a Department of Revenue employee, as they like to call themselves now. All right. At least you're outside. You're in that tunnel, for that part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Downtown, through downtown. And then I'm just telling you, man, that tunnel ain't pretty.
It doesn't smell pretty all the time. But I'm glad that they're
doing
that.
Although, the nice part by being a police officer on that is that when it surfaces up on the Dan Ryan
mm-hmm.
on the way down, you'll be able to see the cars shooting at each other more closely. All right. Too soon. Oh, I know. All right. Here we go.
Number four.
President Trump took time out of his speech where he was talking about farm relief in front of farmers. And we knew they were farmers because they were wearing cowboy hats. Right out of Central Casting. Oh, God. He took on Nancy Pelosi, calling her a mess multiple times during the speech.
You know, she's a mess. Look, let's face it. She doesn't understand it. And they sort of feel she's disintegrating before the rush. She does not understand it. They want to have her understand it before we... It's finished. It's signed. As you know, Mexico's approved the deal. Canada's approved the deal. And they're waiting to get a signal for her. Now, I would say this. The farmers should start talking to the Democrats in the House. The Senate's ready to approve it, the Republican Senate. But... the Democrat House is not. Pelosi does not understand the bill. She doesn't understand it.
It's not about the USMCA. Because they're saying that the USMCA hasn't even been signed yet. You know, that everybody's kind of signed off on it.
The new NAFTA.
But there hasn't been any leadership that House is requiring. They're saying that there should be leadership from the White House to get this thing done because they haven't signed off on the final piece. And here you go.
Speaker Pelosi said today she hoped your family would conduct an intervention with you. What's your reaction to that?
No, I saw her read it perfectly, just the way she said it. It's a very, very sort of a nasty type statement. But I will say this. She said I walked into the room right next door yesterday and walked in and started screaming and yelling. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Because I know that they will always say that, even if it didn't happen, because this happened once before. I walked out. I was so calm. You all saw me minutes later. I was at a news conference. I was extremely calm. I was probably even more so in that room.
Okay. I don't really care about how any of these people are behaving behind closed doors.
No.
I just would like them to get something done and for the president to be... more presidential. I mean, that's the funny thing is if he pretended to be presidential, his fear is if he were acting presidentially, you know, with decorum. I'm not sure he's capable of this, but let's just pretend for a second that he is, that he can handle himself and doesn't have to call people nasty names and all this. He's afraid he'll lose if he does that, which is like the craziest thing ever. He would win by a million miles if he did that, because the minute he starts doing it, and then if the economy is good, and he stops calling everybody else an a-hole, it, you know, people go, oh, maybe this is going well, right? It's that simple of a mechanic.
She's baiting him, and he's totally taking the bait. This is what's going on here.
I haven't changed very much. Been very consistent. I'm an extremely stable genius.
That's exactly what he said today.
He said that before.
Exactly what he said, yes. I you know what, when this is all said and done, written, you know, cows come home to roost or whatever happens at the end. He is going to turn to the camera and go, gotcha. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, here's Kim. What's going on in the newsroom?
More problems for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange.
Lauren Lapka's traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
They're Chicago, they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning. The WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN.
All right, Top 5-5 continues up to...
number three.
What happened there? Orion's voice.
No. Orion! Is Orion okay? Somebody help! All right.
I think he's okay.
Okay.
Just sort of an audio thing.
Yeah. It was the 1970s all over again as Jimmy Kimmel and legendary TV show creator Norman Lear teamed up for a live in front of a studio audience, All in the Family and the Jeffersons, which featured live performances from classic episodes of both of those.
Nice.
Now, this is it's interesting because those shows were very important in their era, right? Because the 1970s was a tumultuous time in America, and sitcoms weren't taking that sort of thing on, except for those two, the Norman Lear stuff, so they were kind of trying it again.
The language and themes from almost 50 years ago can still be jarring today, and we are still grappling with many of these same issues. We hope tonight will make you laugh provoke discussion, and encourage action. There is so much more work we must do in this country we love so much.
All right. So there you go.
Nice. Okay.
Right?
Yep.
There you go. That's the whole idea. Very, very interesting sweeps piece kind of thing that they were doing there for television.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. May, where all the crazy things happen. So what they did is they got Jamie Foxx to play George Jefferson. Right? Interesting.
Ooh.
Right?
Yep.
So they reenacted the scene where Anthony Adams played another character, Uncle Henry, in the scene, and Jamie Foxx is supposed to be yelling at him. And, well...
Bunker!
I'm going to say what I got to say to my brother, and I'm going to get out.
I'll gladly hold the door for you.
And ever since I was a little boy, I would always beg my mother for a little brother. But you know, we were broke. So all we could afford, all could we all is live. Everyone sitting at home just think their TV just messed up. All we could afford was you.
There you go.
Love Jamie Foxx.
There you go. Well, some things are better left to being taped.
Number two.
Journalist Jeffrey Goldberg could have given the best speech of all time to the graduates of Johns Hopkins University, but he could not top Robert F. Smith,
right,
the guy who spoke at Morehouse, who gave all the students forgiveness of their student debt.
Yeah, huge.
At the commencement. So Jeffrey Goldberg had to address the elephant in the room. Saying that, you know, he wasn't really a billionaire, really couldn't do any of those things, and well...
I'm also not going to stand up here in the Morehouse style and offer you $40 million in debt relief. I can't do this for two reasons. A, I don't have $40 million, and B, that's what Daddy Bloomberg is for.
Yeah, ask him.
That is very true. And finally...
Number one.
West Rogers Park couple Rebecca Smith and her partner Alyssa Bates went to Nashville for a wedding and used the app WAG! Exclamation point.
Hear the bell?
Thanks, Kai. Thanks. I missed that.
I had a bell's partially broken. They hired a dog walker for their boxer mix, Mickey. They became concerned after the walker didn't show up during the specified time to take Mickey out. So they called a friend to check on Mickey, who was supposed to be at the apartment, and...
They came up our back steps and saw that the WAG lockbox was open and there were no keys inside. So they tried the door, it was unlocked, and they could hear Mickey crying inside. So they walked back to our back bedroom, opened the door, and found the WAG walker intoxicated asleep in our bed.
When you heard that, what did you think?
I was shocked. It was the last situation that I ever thought we were going to run into.
Oh my gosh. What is wrong with people? What is going on? What?
I love the gig app economy.
It can be very disappointing, can't it?
Yes, it really can. Because this really is, everybody has a job. This is what took down the Soviet Union. I just want to make that perfectly clear.
No one really sort of keeping track of the standards of a lot of this
you
stuff.
Have a few drinks and walk a dog. How hard can it be?
Right. It's my
make a few extra bucks.
Hey, WAG.
That's probably what, right. Some guy drinking out in Nashville. Like, I'm just gonna go walk a dog real quick, make a few bucks.
Right.
I'll be fine,
guys. I can't
guys.
Afford my next drink unless I do. Right. And I can't drive Uber. Right. Uber at the moment.
Right. Exactly. They won't let me do that anymore.
What can I do drunk?
Yeah. Imagine.
I need a drunk job.
Imagine how that works, right? Like you start at you start on some one of those apps that sends you like into an office to be a temp, right?
Right.
And that didn't work out.
Or you go to people's houses and fix things.
Right, exactly.
Know,
yeah.
Assemble your IKEA furniture and stuff.
Real kinds of things, and then all of a sudden that blows up. Then you work your way down to Uber, right? And then that blows up. Then you go, well, I'll try Lyft, and then that blows up. And then Via, no, that blows up. And now you're down to maybe I could be one of the Sherpas, you know, at DoorDash or one of those kinds of things. Fine. No, that blows up. All that's left now is being a dog walker. And you can't even do that right.
One star.
You actually start Airbnb-ing out your own bedroom in your mom's house. That's your last step.
Mom, I've got people renting my room.
Ma, answer the door. That's your Airbnb.
Can you make my bed?
I'm going to sleep on your couch today.
I want a good rating. Can you clean my room?
I took a picture of your bathroom so they have to use it.
Nicer than mine, right?
All right.
It's all going fine.
All right. That does it.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news brought to you by Townstone Financial. I think we made a love connection, though. I think we worked it out.
Good.
All the appropriate people here.
William Shatner was very happy that you spent the time to tell him that he was calling you and not the director he thought he was calling, and that he wanted to call that person very badly. So this was a good thing you did, Rob.
Yes, it all kind of worked out. William Shatner, I got a couple of phone calls from a number that didn't pop up with a name, and I didn't understand who it was. Voicemails of a guy talking to another guy about a TV show they just shot together. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, well, this isn't it. Sometimes you get the wrong voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, is Leon there? And you're like, okay, I get it. I'm not Leon. I understand.
Right.
In this case, though, it was a very fascinating conversation. I thought, now, who are these guys?
You really wanted to know.
Right.
Playing them for me. You're like, right. I don't know who that is.
Play the first one again. Because, this really does get your, this gets your attention.
Jim and Bill, somehow I got in the car, and I'm sort of like a couple of blocks away. I want to tell you how wonderful you are. Great directing and good eye and precise and knowing what you want. It was wonderful. Let's get together next week and celebrate our mutual successful story here. I don't know what will happen to the show, but what we did here the last couple of days is really successful. I'll call.
Yeah, right? Great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to that last night, and I'm thinking, who could that be? That sounds like a studio, mogul of some sort. It's a producer talking to a director, and I'm like, this is great. And I'm like, that's old Hollywood. Who could that possibly be? But I thought, all right, well, that'll clear itself up. It's some LA number, and they'll figure it out,
right.
And it won't be anything. And then, during the show today, after 3 o'clock, I look down at my phone on the desk, and that number's buzzing again, and this voicemail gets left.
Kevin, I guess that's you from the way you're answering. The name is unfamiliar. It's Bill Shatner. I just wanted to apologize once again for running off without saying the fondest of farewells. I love you. You're a great guy, and funny, and perceptive, and talented. Look forward to our mutual success in the chance that it isn't. I would love to continue our relationship. Love you. Bye-bye.
Very sweet.
Aww.
It's very sweet. And then I realized, oh my God, it's William Shatner.
It's William Shatner. That's when it was very clear. It is William Shatner.
Yeah.
Calling you.
Right. Calling my number. To get a hold of some other guy. And
very nice
myself,
things to
how
say.
How does William Shatner have my number? And then we sort of backtracked it that there was a way because a couple of months ago he was in town and we were going to do an interview with him. And they were going to call me in my home studio and maybe that's how the whole thing worked.
Right.
Whatever it was. So we're deciding, what to do. And this came up on the show, about an hour ago. And everybody here was, you got to reach back out to them and tell them because it could be important that these two
connect.
And you don't want, if you're Mr. Shatner, you certainly don't want to not connect to the director that you're going to be working with here.
Or feel that you're not getting a call returned.
Right.
Because you
need feelings either way.
Right.
So I'm in the control room and we're trying to call William Shatner's number and explain it to him and then maybe make a love connection between the director and the actor. And then it turns out that Lauren had the initial idea of texting. Takes all the awkwardness out of it, but it also takes all of the fun entertainment for the show out of it.
Couldn't do that.
But I did it anyway. I texted him and I said, hey, this is, I explained who I am and that you're calling this number. He calls immediately back and I pick up the phone. And I should have just let it go to voicemail for the show, but I felt, you know, now all of a sudden the I got to do the right thing. Duty over love is what happened right here.
Not Game of Thrones.
And so
love the reference.
So I thought this is the right thing to do, you know, for my brothers in show business.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick up and I explain it. And it was the greatest conversation ever because he could not figure out how it was that when he was calling this guy's number, he was calling me. And I said, well, what's the number? And then he read the number and I go, well, that's my number. Well, then how come I'm not calling the other guy? I go, because you're calling my number.
So, he was so confused.
There is a generational thing with the cell phone,
uh-huh.
Right? There's a like the dumb phone where you like those videos where the kids you hand them like a rotary dial phone and go, "Hey, make a phone call here," and they can't figure it out. There are things that you know that happen.
But he seemed really happy that you talked to him and you set him straight and you let him know he wasn't connecting with the director guy. He thought he was connecting to.
Yes,
seemed like it was important,
and he was so appreciative. So it turns out that, you know, Lauren at least has the right idea.
Well, clearly he couldn't hear your name because he was like, Rokon, your name sounds a little funny, Kevin, but I'm guessing that's you. It's a different name, very unfamiliar to me. Because it's Rokon, not Kevin Smith or Kevin Burns, right?
I guess.
Whoever it was.
All right. So I think what we have here is, was a failure to communicate. And we might have now bridged a communication.
Maybe, but didn't he call you back again?
Yeah, he did. And I didn't. But he
by
didn't,
accident?
Yeah, but he didn't leave a voicemail. Because I think he may have realized that he's still calling that number to try to get a hold of this guy. So there we have it.
But you made it right, though, Ralph.
I did. I hope I made it right.
Proud of you. I think you did.
You did the right thing.
You did.
See how Kevin's disappointed? Yeah, that is exactly...
Kevin's like, get him on the air
that
live.
That is the worst showbiz moment ever. Kevin is as the producer. Wait, what?
He's like, what did you do? You ruined the whole thing?
Wait, hold on a second.
Everyone says he's such a nice guy,
wait,
though. So you did the right thing.
Hold on. Kevin Burns?
Yes, sir.
Kevin Burns, thank you very much. Now, this is the craziest thing in the world, because for 2 days, I've been getting calls from William Shatner, who was calling you.
He said very nice things about you, Kevin.
Yes.
Really effusive about how lovely you are, amazing director, and detail-oriented. It was quite amazing.
Kevin, I feel...
This is the most embarrassing moment of my life.
I feel compelled, Kevin, to play the voicemail for you so you get it. Now, did he call you yet?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He did call me.
This afternoon.
He said, Kevin, I want to apologize. I have been calling you for 2 days, and I'm trying to do my best William Shatner. And he goes, and I get this voice machine. It's rough. And I just thought that was your answering machine, that you went crazy on your answering machine.
Oh, my God.
And then he goes, I was leaving these messages. And he goes, am I going to call back from someone? And it wasn't you. So anyway, he'll probably have to change his number now.
Yes. Well, you know what? I'm not going to trump him.
No.
I'm not going to put his phone number out. But now I will have it in my phone. So I just want to play. This is the one he left last night, and I think it's very effusive. Take a listen.
Kevin, Bill, somehow I got in the car, and I'm sort of like a couple of blocks away. I want to tell you how wonderful you are. Great directing and good eye and precise and knowing what you want. It was wonderful. Let's get together next week and celebrate our mutual successful story here. I don't know what will happen to the show, but what we did here the last couple of days is really successful. I'll call.
There you go. That's very nice.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you.
Yes, that was. I think it was incredibly lovely. What is the? Can you talk about the project?
Absolutely. Yes, I'm happy to talk about it. And it's funny because it kind of began. I don't know if I can mention Mr. Cow.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
Man Cow. Yeah, because he's, you know,
Look, I'm like a dog. I stop at every tree. I do a lot of different television shows. Mm-hmm. And I do The Curse of Oak Island for History Channel, and I do Ancient Aliens for the History Channel. And I'm one of the executive producers on the new Lost in Space for Netflix. Because when I grew up, I was a big Irwin Allen geek, and I love Lost in Space.
Yeah.
And I worked
great
for a number
show.
Of years to get the rights. Well, one of the biggest Lost in Space fans is Mancow. And when he found out that I love Lost in Space, he looked me up, and we became friends years ago, and he befriended the cast and everything else. So I know that he's friends with Mr. Shatner, and he's always talking about his friend, you know, Bill Shatner, and, you know, and so in doing Ancient Aliens, we did an episode of Ancient Aliens, and I found out that Shatner, and I had worked with him before, but I found out that he had done a show about Eric Von Daniken back in the 70s, and this was meant to be a 50th anniversary tribute to Eric Von Daniken, so we brought him in, and he did an interview for that show, and in the course of it, it turned out to be a hugely well-rated episode of Ancient Aliens, and so Rob Chernow, who's the head of all the A&E networks, including History Channel and Lifetime and A&E, is also a good friend of Shatner's, and he said, what about Shatner hosting this new show that you're going to do for us, Kevin, called The Unexplained?
Oh.
And The Unexplained is this kind of, it's kind of In Search Of meets Ripley's Believe It or Not meets, you know, kind of a mystery show about the unexplained mysteries and what we think causes them, and everything from strange creatures and weird freaks of nature and evil places and haunted houses and mysteries of the brain. And he had done a similar show called Weird or What out of Canada that was played, you know, had some success some years ago. And anyway, he was excited to do it. We made a deal for him to do it. And
there you have it. Is it airing somewhere?
It's going to air on the History Channel in July.
Okay.
It airs, I don't have the exact date, but it's going to air on a Friday night after Ancient Aliens. And he became more than a host narrator. He really became a partner and a friend in the process. So we've really had a ball working with him. Because you never know when you bring somebody in, especially somebody with his incredible pedigree, I mean,
right.
his incredible
yeah.
career, if he's going to be, you know, difficult to work with or a joy to work with, or if he's into the material or not. And he, I have to say, you know, anybody can look up his age. He's 88 years old.
Wow.
I swear to God, without exaggeration, he looks like he's in his late 60s.
I know.
Early
oh, he was just on TV. The
totally
crazy
does.
Thing,
that surprises
Kevin,
me.
Is that he was just on TV today, nationally, on that the talk show, you know, that on CBS. The CBS
Chew.
Version
yeah.
of, no, it's The Talk.
The Talk.
The Chew was the thing where that was on
oh,
ABC.
Right.
That didn't work out.
That did.
That's where they were spitting in the food. The this thing, it's funny because it was just on. Apparently, he was talking about this project with you while he's calling me
wow.
to make a voicemail to you. And then we were talking about it, and there was an inexplicable moment on the show in which one of the hosts asked him about his relationship with Leonard Nimoy and if it's gotten better since, you know, they had a bad relationship. And he goes, well, he's dead, so no, it hasn't gotten better. So that was
a little awkward.
Yeah, very awkward moment. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I guess at the end of the day, I just want to say that I've done God's work today because I made sure that you and William Shatner were able to have this conversation, stay connected at the level that you need to stay connected. And I wish you the best success and the show the best success. And when right before it premieres, I offer you an open invitation to join us on the show, both of you, to talk about this. When it occurs.
Would love to. And that's a wonderful invitation. And I just have to say, It's been a joy. I've worked with everybody in this business. I did Biography for A&E. We did 167 people. We met incredible people. He really is one of the last of the great iconic personalities. He really does deserve the attention and the fame that he has.
Big Hollywood. He is absolute Hollywood royalty. And we can't really say that about, you know, that sort of old school character, you know, actor that is just the actor, you know. He's like, you're not going to cast him to like Pacino to play somebody who doesn't look like him, right? He's one of those guys like Cary Grant. You just got to make him him. And,
well, again, you know, when you're good enough that your one name is enough, like Cher, Madonna, yeah. Shatner. Right. I mean,
it's true.
It's amazing.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, he's bigger than life. So congratulations on that. Congratulations to him. I'm happy everybody got along.
Thank you for taking the time for us, Kevin. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, and I appreciate it. And we will. We will be happy when we get closer to the air date because it's a very special show, and what he brings to it is amazing. So
there you go.
So I'm very excited, very proud of it.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Sorry to get in the way. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How cool is he?
Oh, my God.
Gosh. There are nice people in Hollywood.
This is just true that crazy things happen to me.
Yeah, it is true.
And
I don't know why. You do find yourself in the middle of these things, don't you?
Right. This is a complete accident.
Well, what was weird is
William Shatner to call
you brought it up before you even knew it was William Shatner. Say, this is a strange phone call. Like, just listen to this. This is kind of weird. Like, this seems like it might be somebody's that we should know. Sure enough. Bill Shatner.
Who knew we'd make it into a bit on the radio? All right, hold on. Let's check with
Kim. We did God's work today.
Right. Well, for the radio. What's going on in the news?
Plans are in the works to return the Boeing 737 MAX plane back into the skies.
Prince Ali, fabulous. He, Ali, Ababwa. Show some respect. Boy, genuflect. Down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm. Brush up your Friday salon. Then come and meet a spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, mighty as he, Ali Ababwa. Strong as 10 regular men, definitely.
All right, there's your Will Smith.
Yeah.
It's not exactly Wild Wild West, is it?
No.
Richard Roper is in, I can't remember if he's in Las Vegas or Los Angeles, but he's in one of those lost places. And
I'm in Las Vegas. Hey, listen, William Shatner just called. Now he's lost your number. So he wants me to do to forward the call later. So we'll work on that a little bit later on.
Oh, my God.
He's the nicest guy ever.
And I was trying to figure out how it was that William Shatner had my phone number, but not my phone number. It was the greatest conversation I've had all year with anybody. I mean, he's 88 years old, right? And he's still totally with it and a great performer. But he could not figure out how it was he was calling this number and he was getting me and not this Kevin Burns guy, the director. He did not know why it was. And so I said, well, what number are you calling? He goes, I don't know why this number's forwarding to you. I go, so then he reads back my number. And I said to him, well, that's my number. Well, then why isn't Kevin Burns answering it? I go, because it's my number.
It was very confusing.
You better check. I think George Takei is trying to send you a fax as we speak.
It was very, 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 very odd moment. And I was thinking, I was wondering if you were somehow in the middle of this. If that somehow,
I have nothing to do with it for once.
It turns out that we don't even know. We don't even know the answer to the question.
But it's very nice of you, Ro, to handle that whole thing, connect these two parties. Bill Shatner, very happy that you did it.
Yes. He just called back. Wow. He just called the control room back to thank our producer for that and say, hey, listen, we'd love to come on with you in a couple of weeks to promote this show that's going to be on.
What a good deal.
Yeah, I know.
What a nice deal.
What a crazy thing this is. All right. Can we, let's talk about Aladdin. A lot of parents are going to be forced to go to this movie. Are they going to like it?
Yeah, actually, this is kind of shocking because unlike Ro Khan, I try to watch the whole movie before reviewing it. And as you know, there were some misgivings about this movie. The first time they showed a picture of Will Smith, you know, he looked like an over-muscled member of Blue Man Group as the genie. And as you heard from that clip, the one thing we're sure of, that's definitely Will Smith singing because you can tell that he's singing because I think the Fresh Prince, you know, has a little trouble hitting some notes once in a while. But that being said, and Guy Ritchie directs this film, by the way. The guy that, you know, made his bones doing all these hard R action movies and then did the Sherlock Holmes films. He's known for those kind of hyperkinetic action movies. He actually does a really good job here. They blend the practical effects and the special effects. And one of the things I liked about it, Ro, you mentioned, it really isn't all ages. I mean, it's PG just because the subject matter is too complicated, really, for real little ones. But it really is a very sweet, noble, well-intentioned, colorful, fun,
all-ages family movie, and we don't get too many of those.
Wow. It's hard.
That's good to hear.
Hard, first of all, the source material. Is it? Yeah. Are they doing the same songs? That was not...
They are doing some of the same songs, so you're going to hear a new version of A Whole New World, which, of course, is probably the most famous song, right? Alan Menken, who wrote the songs, most of the songs for this original, has 8 Academy Awards. He's a Disney legend. But they also have some new songs. They've even given Princess Jasmine a more empowered role, if you will, without it becoming some sort of feminist lecture. But she gets a new solo number, which will be for sure nominated for an Academy Award. And the cast for this live-action movie, Naomi Scott plays Princess Jasmine, Manon Massoud plays Aladdin. They're two of the most beautiful people you've ever seen in your life. They look like the actual drawings from the cartoon come to life.
Wow.
And they're both really good, because if they're not good together, you know, we have to root for them. Because it's a sweet romance. And then they got a flying carpet, and they got that monkey, and they got that parrot, you know, all that stuff. All live-action, and they did a beautiful job with it.
Do you see any strings?
You
the
don't.
Carpet. Good. Okay. Because when we were at Disney World, my daughter pointed out the strings. She said, wait a minute. That would ruin it for everyone.
Oh, no. And you also don't see any bottles of water under anybody's
Coffee cups. Coffee
cups. Too soon, like damn it. Too soon. I'm not done mourning yet.
I know.
All right.
Well, this sounds like a good one.
So 3 stars.
Three stars.
Awesome. Very solid. And even though Will Smith... You know, there are a couple of moments when you first see him as the Blue Genie. Everybody remembers Robin Williams voicing the character of the animated movie from 20 years ago. But once he kind of settles into the role, he kind of plays a big brother type character, and he's at his most effective when he's at his quietest. And there's just some really nice exchanges between him and Prince Ali, a.k.a. Aladdin. Spoiler alert, Aladdin and Prince Ali are the same character.
Wow.
What are you doing? I'm going to give Shatner your number next.
The whole movie.
He's going to bother you. He keeps calling and calling.
Those kids playing at home.
What are you doing? All right. So you like it. That's good. And I think people, you know, Disney very rarely misses. And this live action, this now from animation to live action movement that they've got. Start with the Jungle Book. There's this, I believe, the Beauty and the Beast, of course. And then you got what's the big one that's coming up? Lion King, right?
Lion King next month, and they've done. They started doing it all the way back with 101 Dalmatians, which is kind of a good way to do it. Which is a nice story, but not one of their classics. So they kind of eased into it, and now I think they have another 15 planned of live action. Pretty much every animated Disney movie ever made is going to be made into a live action film. And yeah, they certainly know what they're doing. This is a beautiful looking film. I actually saw it in IMAX, not 3D, but just on the IMAX screen. If you have a chance to do that, you can afford that, folks. You should check it out on the IMAX screen. It's really something to behold.
Mm. All right. Very, very good. All right, what else would you like to tell us about here? I got a list. Hold on. I'll let you go in your order that you wanted. Is Booksmart and Brightburn?
I want to talk about Booksmart because this is basically one of the John Hughes type high school movies, and it reminds me a lot of films like Superbad. You know, it's an R-rated buddy film, but it's women, which I really love that they have in the lead roles here. And the director of this is Olivia Wilde, the actress Olivia Wilde.
Love her.
And it's just a really smart movie. Here's the setup, and we're gonna play a real quick clip for you guys. Two best friends, it's their last day of high school. They've spent 4 years deep in their studies, and they finally realize, oh, God, we've never done anything to have any fun. So they finally decide to have a conversation about that. Here's a clip.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Let's go to Nick's party.
Are you kidding? No, no way.
We only have one night left to have studied and partied in high school. Otherwise, we're just going to be the girls that missed out. We haven't done anything. We haven't broken any rules.
Okay. We've broken a lot of rules. One, we have fake IDs.
Fake college IDs so we can get into their 24-hour library.
Name one person whose life was so much better because they broke a couple of rules.
Picasso.
Yes, he broke art rules. Name a person who broke a real rule.
Rosa Parks.
Name another
one. Susan B. Anthony.
Damn it.
Cute dialogue.
Yeah, I like the very smart dialogue there. The two leads is that's Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein as best friends. And Beanie Feldstein is actually the younger sister of Jonah Hill. And you, even though they don't physically resemble each other, the mannerisms, and you know how he's always had that real confident on-air persona where he's really funny and owns the room, even though he doesn't conventionally look like, you know, like a leading person.
Right.
She does the same thing. They're terrific together. I love the female perspective, but then it also just has a lot of this, you know, the obligatory big giant party scene, the brush with the law, the blowout between the best friends, the crush that has never been, you know, realized, all the things you see in high school movies, but almost every time they find a different way to showcase those scenes. I love this film. Booksmart gets 3.5 stars, guys. 3.5.
Wow.
That's like an A- for these kids who would be really mad because they've only had A's their entire high school lives.
Oh, Professor Roper. I knew he was going to do that. I knew it. Wow. All right.
I'm going to see that one.
Yeah,
Thank you, Richard Roper.
One that I'm hoping doesn't fly under the radar, because I think, you know, people see it and they go, oh, is this just like some sort of, you know, girls movie or high school movie? It's not. It's just a good movie.
And it's in theaters. Is it one of those things that's going to be on Netflix in an hour? Or
no,
what?
It's in theaters. It's getting the real treatment. And Olivia Wilde, who people know, she's been in a million movies and TV shows, shows such a great touch as a director. And the screenplay is by 4 writers, all women. So they clearly had, you know, some people that really understood how maybe today's 17, 18-year-old young women sound.
All right. Oh. And before we let you go, Brightburn?
Yeah, Brightburn's a disaster. Stay away from that.
Okay, thank you.
Imagine, here's the real quick setup for this. Imagine if Superman landed, Kal-El, you know, the baby landed in the field in Kansas but was really evil. That's basically the setup here. What, you know, had all those superpowers but used them to murder people. Oh. That's basically Brightburn. It's got some unbelievably grotesque R-rated killings, and the mom and dad in this movie who find the little baby in the field are the stupidest people in the country. You want to kill them because they take this child in, even though he landed from outer space and seems to have superhuman powers and is very evil, and they keep protecting their kids. They're worse than Lori Loughlin when it comes to trying to get their kid too much advantage. 1.5 stars. Stay away from Brightburn. Families, go see Aladdin. Grown-ups, go see Booksmart.
Would you say that was alien privilege then? Is that what that is?
There's totally alien privilege in Brightburn, and I'm offended by it, quite frankly.
Very good. All right. Thank you. Bill Shatner's on the line. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Bye.
Right. His new friend.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you get to call him Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Only certain people are allowed to call him Bill.
Hey, Bill. I see you.
Who knew he went by Bill? Did you know that already?
I don't know. I don't know anything. I swear to God, this has been the most bizarre 24 hours
really
of my life.
Has.
All right, let's check in now, Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump plans to sign a bill passed in the Senate today, even though he says he won't work with Democrats.
Great comment on the text line, 612. So two people who don't know who Ro Khan is, Oprah and William Shatner. It turns out. We found two.
That is true. But Oprah, at least, had a good reason not to.
Ro Khan, who's that?
What was her good reason not to know you?
Because she didn't know who I was.
William just thought you were someone else.
Yeah.
Mr. Shatner.
Right.
Thought you were a famous director.
I've actually interviewed Mr. Shatner before. I have but I mean, who remembers, right? Situations like that. But Oprah, and I interviewed, that was before an interview with Oprah. That's where that came from. She was wearing the mic, and they said, your next interview is with Ro Khan. And then, of course, it was...
Ro Khan, who's that?
Yeah. So it's been basically, you know, my career has really been something of legend, I would say. And not the kind of legend that when the people go, oh, he was legendary. They go, oh, yeah, you're not going to believe the number of times he screwed things up.
I don't think that's true. Very funny a sequence of events today with William Shatner, who goes by Bill Shatner, who thought you were his friend, the director, and left very nice things on your voicemail. Nice that you connected them, Ro. I really, you know, there's a lot of ways that could have gone. You could have made it a bit. You could have called him on the air.
Yes.
But he's such a nice guy. You did the right thing.
But we did play the voicemails on the air, and it worked out okay.
It did.
Worked out okay for everybody, as far as anybody knows. The thing that, you know, for me is I would still like to know how it is that William Shatner had my phone number, because it's a 1 in a trillion chance of just randomly dialing numbers that you're going to get mine.
And then dialing it and being so sure that was the right number. Like, you didn't go back and go, oh, okay, I transcribed a number here. No, you just kept calling it. And even when you confronted him, he said, that's not that. This is the number I have
yeah.
for
you,
Kevin.
You got the wrong number. No, that's my number. I don't know. Whatever it is. It was very, very fun. It was great. And everybody was a good sport about it.
It all worked out.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about nothing. All right. Tomorrow on the program, we get ready for Memorial Day. Summer starts tomorrow right here on this program, and there will be absolutely no useful information being imparted, except maybe Lauren is actually going to have some useful information about things happening over the weekend.
Too.
But that's it. And weather. Other than that, and of course, Kim will be in the newsroom. I'm sure some of that will be useful. But I am making a promise that I'm going to have no useful information on Fridays on this program throughout the summer.
Everyone's checked out anyway.
Right. Including the host.